Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Without welcoming our teen co-host, Miranda.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Kendall.
Hi. How are you?
Good. And tonight we're in for a special treat because we have also visiting guest co-host tonight, Adam from New York. How are you?
I'm great. I'm feeling like a million bucks.
Oh, I like it. I like it. It's going to be an all-star show tonight. Dante.
Hello, everyone.
How are you doing? Where are you calling in from?
I'm doing well, and I'm calling in from Durham, North Carolina.
North Carolina. So we have North Carolina representing Manhattan, New York. We have
Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn, yeah. Even better. Brooklyn,
yeah.
We have Maryland and Washington, D.C. These are the spots, these are the spots that I've heard of that are hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys are in, our listeners are certainly in for a treat because today is the last day of January, which means we're entering the month of February, which is Black History Month. Of course, it's also Valentine's Day, but tonight we're going to be talking about Black history. And we're having a little different spin on it. It's going to be a melodic timeline through Black history. So Teen Station, as you all our listeners know and our co-hosts, it's all about telling your story. What is your story? We always want to know how you got there, how you can continue to be successful, what your story is. And music is a way that you can tell your story. It's a vehicle that drove, actually, Black history. It kept people together. Listening to lyrics, listening to beats, rhythm, you can hear their pain, their struggle. Starting all the way back, we're going to take it all the way back. Adam, are you ready to take it all the way back?
I always take it back. I love the throwbacks, you know.
We have to take it back, because if you don't know our history, how can we continue to move forward? So, and both of you, Adam and Dante, have a lot of knowledge in music, different spectrums, and we're really excited for you to talk to us about that. Dante, tell us your experience with music and why you love it so much.
Why do I love music? Well, music at its very basis, whether you have studied music in college or if you are a newborn baby just coming out your mother's womb, it is an expression of how you feel. Music is a way to emote. When we're first born, what does the doctor make sure that we do? we cry, or we sing. We're expressing pain. We're just expressing. I love anything that has to do with the arts, but music in particular, because that's my field of study.
That's awesome. And tell the audience what instruments you play.
Well, I am a classical vocalist, meaning I sing classical music, I sing opera, art songs, and many other different things. But I'm also a concert pianist. I have studied piano since I was a young boy, and I'm now 22 years old.
That's amazing. That's really great. And so it's beautiful to see the culmination of both two individuals who love music, but different types of music, but it still can be fused together. Adam, tell us your experience with music and how you got into it.
Man, my experience was very, it just came naturally. I remember the first time I ever heard a song that I truly fell in love with, and you might find this hard to believe, but one of the first songs that I ever, like, really, really paid attention to was In the Club by 50 Cent. And I have no idea, like, why that was, but it just, like, that's when I fell in love with hip-hop. And, I mean, before that, I would just, you know, listen to music on the radio, and it wasn't anything too serious. But that always kind of stayed with me. And eventually, when I got to college, I was really curious to actually get into hip-hop, like, actually do it. And I had friends who were making music, and I just started hanging out with them all of the time, and it just rubbed off on me. And I just started recording music, and I've been doing it ever since. And, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I truly believe it's what I want to do for many years to come. So
that's amazing. And these are amazing stories. And we're going to go back all the way in the past, all the way in the past, and see how the story of music was initiated through Black history. Before we start, it's going to be a little mix of a show, because we're going to play all different types of songs, starting way back in the 1800s, 1700s, all the way to now. First, I'll ask Miranda or Kendall, or actually anyone, why do you think music was a connection that back during the times of slavery, it kept them going?
I definitely think that it served as an inspiration for them to keep going, because a lot of times lyrics can really powerfully affect an individual when sometimes, like, their actions may not be enough, or when you feel like you can't do anything.
It's true.
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of like a distraction also from all the hard stuff they have to go through, and kind of provide a moment of joy, I guess.
Yeah, I can definitely speak on this because I've studied, I guess, a little bit of, like, about slavery and everything, and my understanding is that when the slaves were in the fields, they would use song to, you know, get through every day. I mean, during those times, those people, like, they faced a lot of horrible things, so song could really take them to another place. It was like a religious experience almost. I mean, when you're watching, you know, other fellow slaves getting whipped and all these other things, you know, song is the only thing you had. You couldn't just get out of there, but song could transport you to another place, and it just, you can feel it to this day in all kinds of music, you know, that all originates from African American music, pretty much. So yeah.
That's true. Go ahead, Justin.
What was the question one more time?
Go ahead. We're just saying why music bonded the individuals through slavery and got them through the hardship.
Well, seeing how music, or vocal music in particular, from the continent of Africa was, well, music in general on the continent of Africa is a part of their daily life. It, here
yeah.
in the West, in our Western culture in America, music is has become an individual thing. We all have our various MP3 players, and we're going around listening to music individually, as opposed to the people in the continent of Africa. It's a communal thing. During that time, during when the enslaved Africans were brought here, it was everybody had to do. When you heard the sound of the drum, it was time to do something. When you heard the instruments playing, the cordophone instruments playing, it was time to do something. You know, here in America, we separate music and dance, but music and dance go hand in hand, especially in West Africa. When they were brought over, they couldn't bring their instruments with them, so they only had their concept of vocal music, and that was about the only way that they could express themselves. That was the only way that they knew how to express themselves.
That's so true. Go ahead, Adam.
I was just going to say, I completely agree with that. In South Africa, during apartheid, when a lot of South Africans had to take trains to the mines to work, they would sing songs of the oppression that they were facing, and it would help to just get through the day. And they would sing songs about the apartheid government in opposition to, you know, the horrible laws that were being placed upon them to oppress them. So it's definitely ingrained in the people. You know, it's very, very, it just goes back for years and years. It's just a natural thing, I feel. And it's definitely one of those things that could never be completely taken from Black people, because as long as you have a voice, you know, you're going to be able to sing.
Exactly. And that's where our story is going to begin. You guys all talked perfectly about the 1700s. Then moving on to the 1800s and the early 1900s, where we slowly evolved from that rhythmic music to the advent of blues and jazz. And before we go into it, I'm going to actually play a song. You probably have never heard of this. Dante, have you heard of Hattie McDaniel before? Or have any of the team? Yeah, so she was the first African-American female to win the Academy Award for being in Gone with the Wind, but was unable to sit there at the time due to the segregation. So I'm going to play her song. Let's scroll down. But speaking about, how do you think the transition from that type of music with the drums and the beats going to blues and jazz, why was that transition made?
Well, that happened because it was an influence of Western tonal harmony stemming from predominantly well, the Western harmonies came from the Gregorian plain chant of the Catholic Church, and then it developed into music of Joseph Haydn, Bach, Johann Sebastian Bach, Mozart, Beethoven, all the way into the Romantic period. And then once the enslaved Africans were brought over into America, you had the spiritual, which I consider the spiritual, the Negro spiritual, to be the basic, the rock upon which all pop forms of popular music and some classical music that are here in America.
It's history, boys and girls. Gotta listen to it. All right, well, we're going to actually transfer. We're going to skip a couple years. We're going to go into Billie Holiday. Here we go, boys and girls.
My man don't love me, treats me all.
Hello.
Hedrick?
Hello.
My man, he don't love me, treats me awfully. He's the lowest man that I've ever seen.
Hello.
He wears hot gray pants.
You can hear you, Jay.
That's all really
yellow. Billie Holiday, ladies and gentlemen.
Stripes are really yellow, but when he starts in to love me, he's so fine and mellow. Love will make you drink and gamble, make you stay out all. Make you stay out all night long.
So when you hear
that,
that
will make you do things that you know
is. Do you hear a difference in the way that she's presenting her emotions or her how she's feeling at the time versus how Nicki Minaj comes across, and her lyrics, are they the same? Are they both feeling the same?
I think that she expresses a raw kind of emotion that isn't heard often in a lot of songs because her lyrics had a lot of depth, and I feel like her emotions were also portrayed in the beat of the music and how, like, the instruments sounded.
Well, for me, I'm a fan of classical music and jazz, the early part of the jazz period. But I can't speak about Nicki Minaj.
Well, you can speak on that side about Billie Holiday.
On how she's emoting.
Yeah, how she's expressing.
Well, I mean, she's singing blues.
Right.
How much more raw can you be? My love, my man don't love me. He treats me awful mean.
Yeah.
He's the meanest man I've ever seen. Wow. I mean you have to be going through something.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And it's clear. All right, we're gonna take another one. And boys and girls, you guys are learning stuff tonight, I'm sure, besides from my educated panel of hosts who know all these wonderful artists. But this is good for you guys just to understand the history. We have another song, Don't Mean That Don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing. Who is it? Trivia, who do you think it is? Anyone?
Ella Fitzgerald sings a version of it.
Oh, yes, exactly. Well, this one is Ellington, but yeah.
It makes no difference if it's sweet or hot.
Hello?
Just give that rhythm everything you've got. Yes. Don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. It don't mean a thing, don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing, boy. I said don't mean a thing, and all you got to do is sing like la 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 la.
Terminology in tennis. So now it's just a common term versus a long time ago, it may not have been. Why do you think that is? And, I mean, what do you think about that word? We'll go around. What do you think about that word? Adam, you can start.
Oh, okay. I think like a lot of slang, originated in the Black community and spread, obviously. And I mean, the word describes an aura that someone gives off, which is usually one that is smooth and one that is likable, one that people gravitate to. People feel it, so they use the word. It's just swag, like, you know, in a lot of songs, like swag, swag, swag. Like, you know, it's something that people feel. It's in the air. When someone walks past you and you do a double take, just swag, like, you know. So, I mean, this has been going on for years and years. You know, words come and go, and swag is just one of those words that, I mean, right now it's still very, very popular. I feel like it's been popular for a few years, but it's definitely, you know, huge now, mainstream. I guess it's a lot of people would say, and, you know, I'm sure there'll be another word like it soon that everyone's going to use, but they'll just use it in a different way like they always do, you know, so.
Now, yeah. I want to hear from a male perspective. Edric, how are you? One of our other teen hosts. How are you doing? Edric? All right, well, he's temporarily out. But, okay, from the guys, can girls have swag?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a girl can have swag. Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, I think, again, I'm not up to on pop culture or anything that has to do with popular music, but I think the song, one of the lyrics of a song that's popular now, it may not be popular. Her booty got swag, is that it? So with that being said, I think that girl can have swag.
I believe that a female can definitely have swag. I mean, Beyonce has swag. You know, she recently, I don't know if anyone knew, but she was at a press conference for the Super Bowl, and a lot of people were talking about how she, you know, basically didn't actually do the inauguration. She didn't actually sing it. She lip-synced it. And so she got up at the conference for the Super Bowl, and she just sang a cappella to shut, you know, all the haters down and everything. And I thought she had tons of swag from doing that. It was just like, boom, like, you know, I can sing, like, and all the haters need to shut up. Like, she just killed it. And so I felt like she had a lot of swag, like she really owned it. So, yeah, women can definitely have swag, like Hillary Clinton. She has swag, like, you know, Hillary Clinton is a boss, like, you know that you would never try, you know, like, I mean, she's not a singer, she's not in music, but, like, women can have swag.
Yeah.
Definitely, I mean, Jennifer Hudson, swag. Whitney Houston had swag, you know, for ages, like, she'll always be remembered. Her voice was amazing, and, I mean, Eve, is a female rapper. She has tons of swag. Simple as that.
That's definitely true. And now, ladies, you guys also have a different perspective as well because you're still currently in high school, but you hear the same things as well, I'm sure, throughout your peers. How do people describe swag or how can you exude swag?
Here, it's used a lot to describe boys, and my school seems to describe boys more than girls, but a lot of times it's based off how a guy dresses, you know, how nice his sneakers are, his shoe game, you know, stuff like that. And I remember this one girl at my school got the new Jordans last week, and all the boys are telling me, you know, she has so much swag, you know, dressing well and, like, hip.
That's good to know. What about you in D.C., Miranda?
Same exact thing, actually. I mean, if there's one thing that guys describe with the word swag so much, it's sneakers. But it definitely just sort of is used as a word to describe, like, a certain attitude, a certain confidence.
I mean, that, to me, the reason why I wanted to talk about it is just interesting because the definition, the way that you guys all defined it is basically the epitome of all these artists who were playing, and they were the beginning of this whole musical spectrum, and they started basically the definition of swag and not really knowing that they started this. We're going, the coolness of each artist. So we're going to still take it back. We're now we're progressing throughout our time period. Chuck Berry. Now, this song, Maybelline, actually was targeted towards the teenager. So this was like famous. Imagine like your guys' time right now. This was like the hot song at that time. Here we go. Chuck Berry, everyone.
Cadillac rolling on an open road, nothing out run my vehicle. Cadillac doing about 95, bumper to bumper rolling side to side. Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You done started back doing the things you used to do. A Cadillac pulled up to 104, before got it hot and wouldn't do no more.
And he was actually trying to make the transition into rock and roll, I believe. So that was the beginning of it. So what do you guys think? Imagine you being teenagers and this is a hot song and you're like, oh my gosh, did you not download it, but of course, did you hear the new song on the radio?
I thought it was nice. I mean, if I was alive back then, that would have been my jam.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's very, like, upbeat, and I mean, Chuck Berry was the beginning of rock and roll. He was the originator, so
exactly.
I'm sure it really kind of took everyone by surprise. Everyone was like, whoa, what is this? What is the sound? You know, It was a game changer. So I'm sure back then it would have just been a crazy party when that song came on, you know? Because when I think of songs that come out now that are game changers, every time I hear it, you know, everyone's going wild, you know? So, I mean, the times change, but the feeling never changes, you know? When there's a game changer, you know, there's always that that feeling and that impact. So, yeah.
And do you guys notice any, like, changes with, because, of course, we're going from the past slowly to the present. Do you notice any changes in the songs, the lyrics, the way that they're being played, the tempo?
Well, of course, because of where we are, the technology, you know, you have a computer can take the job of an entire band. So you can take the entire human element out of music and leave it up to computers. So that has affected, you know, the production of music. And it has also taken away a lot of jobs from percussionists, saxophonists, any band member, really. But anyway, that's just me.
And now we're going to continue, and I'm sure everyone knows this song, and I want to talk about basically what, during that time, that era, what was going on, why you think that he came up with these lyrics. And he certainly really felt it, and to this day, it's still relevant in every sense. There we go. Marvin Gaye.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we got to find.
Segregation, what people were facing every day just to get equality.
That's certainly true. And what else were they, like, his lyrics are really, really deep, and you could still relate, like I said before, the lyrics today, sometimes people are still saying what's going on. What are your thoughts about that? We'll go around.
Wait, hello? Can you hear me?
Cedric?
No. Said who?
Jack. All right, we have a technical malfunction, but continuing with Marvin Gaye, how are people still able to relate Marvin Gaye today? Miranda, we can start with you. Hello? Adam, you can take it away.
How can we relate to what's going on to today? I mean, there are many ways to relate it to today. I mean, I feel like back then, you know, obviously the problems were different in the Black community, but it says here in the lyric, brother, brother, there's far too many of you dying, you know? I mean, I see in the news like every day, I always hear about another shooting, you know, Black on Black crime, and this issue obviously is just happening constantly, and it's very sad and frustrating, but I mean, you know, but it goes to show you how, I guess, timeless Marvin Gaye's lyrics are. And you know, I don't know if when he recorded this song he realized how timeless the words he was singing were, but I mean, it's heavy hitting stuff, as you said.
Dante, it's true.
Well, I hate asking the question, you know, what's going on? What's going on with our work today? Why is there so many homeless amongst Black people? Yeah. We still be applying today. Why are there so many Americans that are without jobs? You know, why are there so many Americans on disability and government assistance?
Oh, we can't really hear you.
I said, why are there so many Americans on government assistance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on? What's going on, government? What's going on?
Actually, today there was a shooting in Atlanta. But only one was injured. I'm not sure if they were killed, but...
Yeah, I mean, gun control is a huge issue right now, obviously. I mean, it's, you know, our president is trying to do stuff about that. But, you know, this is something that is just has gotten out of hand in this country and definitely affects people of color and is something that remains in the music constantly. You know, whether it is addressing the issue of it or it's almost in a way promoting it, it kind of goes both ways in the music now. And some could argue, well, whoever is promoting guns in music, well, that's not real music. You know, you hear that argument a lot, but in certain environments when people are just surrounded by violence, you know, they might, all they have is to maybe rhyme about it and talk about what they've seen in their lives. That's always the way it's been in, you know, the African American community. We just made music on, you know, what we knew and what we had, what we saw surrounding us, whether it's good or bad, whether some view it as positive or negative. It's always been, you know, what we've actually seen.
It's very, very true. Yeah. Kendall and Miranda, what did you say? Oh, we didn't have Miranda come talking about the relevance of Marvin Gaye.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think that at the height of the time when it was written, it has a lot of relevance, and I think that it still has to do with today, even outside of just the American culture. If you look at an international standpoint, there's a lot.
Hello? We temporarily lost Kendall. I think it's a storm right over here. Miranda, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's definitely a very inspiring and political song. And, you know, of course, all those things are still relevant today. There's still so much violence today. I mean, probably a lot better than that time period, but still there's a lot that we need to do. So it's still very relevant nowadays.
That's certainly true. And, I mean, so much history from these, I mean, of course, there's an exorbitant amount of songs that I could play throughout Black history, but I just weren't able to get these songs, but you just learned so much and you can still have it relate. Oh, we have Kendall back on. Hi, Kendall.
Hi, sorry, I got disconnected.
That's all right. What were you saying?
I was saying that if you look at, you know, issues around the world, a lot of it puts us in question. You know, sometimes these issues seem like they're bigger than us. So I think that the song is a cry for help for society. It definitely relates to today.
That's exactly true. So much, so deep. I love it. All right, we're going to continue throughout our timeline. Let's go for this ride. It's fun. Next, we have a fun, upbeat one. Miss Aretha Franklin, Respect. Tapping your feet over there. How can you not with Aretha Franklin? Everyone knows who she is.
Yep.
Young, old, any background. This definitely was which era? The Motown. There. What can I say about the Motown? There's so much. I mean, now it's still, people still are relating to it.
Yeah, Motown is timeless. Everywhere.
Adam?
I said Motown is timeless. It's everywhere. It's international. It's everything. You know, everyone samples Motown. Everyone wants to be Motown. You know, everyone wants to be a modern day what Motown was. Everyone wants that, you know. It was just a special time in music that can't be imitated or redone. So. Yeah.
That's true. That's so true. And What are your thoughts about that, Dante?
Can you say it one more time? No. No.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Hello.
What was the question again?
The question was about Motown and Motown's impact, I guess.
Oh, well, Motown, huge impact on American popular music. I mean, who was the best-selling popular artist of all time? Michael Jackson. He came out of Motown. You know, Michael Jackson is what every popular musician wants to be like. Not necessarily sound like his music, no, but be as influential, be as successful as he is, or he was.
Yeah, so that era is certainly popular. And you, as listeners, you guys know that you're listening to Lake Rainbow Soul. Thank you so much. We actually have a caller calling in. We're going to see what he has to ask our teen co-host. Hello, who is speaking and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Amiri. I'm from New York, Atlanta, and Trinidad. I know your co-host, AV, Mr. Adam.
Okay. He's representing and supporting. That's good.
What's up, man? What's up? Remember me? Howard, yeah. Freshman year.
Of course, man. All
right, we're reminiscing. That's great. What question do you have for our teen co-host?
Well, I have a lovely question because I know, Mr., we're talking about Black history and music, and Mr. AV, Mr. Adam Vincent himself, is actually a music artist.
Yes, we know.
So I wanted to know, what is the differences and challenges that you see being a light-skinned artist versus a dark-skinned artist? The difference...
Thanks, Amir.
Challenges. I mean, like, there are differences, I guess. I mean, I really feel like, obviously, America is a very, like, racist place. And so a lot of times, you know, like, Caucasians, I'm not speaking on everyone, but they will look at, you know, maybe a light-skinned artist as maybe one that they can, I don't know, relate to or whatever, because, like, they're light-skinned, which is sad, you know what I mean? But it's just kind of a true thing. I mean, if you listen to, I mean, I just know a lot of, like, Caucasian people, they're a fan of Drake. They might not really understand where, like, most death is coming from, or Talib Kweli, you know what I mean? I personally love Mos Def, Talib. I also like Drake's music a lot. But I mean, they're very different. Common is a light-skinned guy, but he's very, very conscious about his blackness. You know, I do feel that dark-skinned artists face a lot more hardship. Like, I know that for a fact. I mean, you can just see it in the media. You can see it, you know, everywhere. But I think that's changing. I think it's changing, you know, and hopefully one day it will no longer be an issue. But, I mean, America is a very young country compared to some nations that have been around for many, many years. And racism is obviously still alive. I mean, I hope that, you know, that issue can die out and we can all be one, because, you know, black people, we come in many different shades, you know, and we're like a rainbow, basically. You know what I mean? And I feel that we need to be one. We need to come together and, you know, being a light-skinned rapper, I feel sometimes it can be a little, like, awkward because people are just like, oh, like, you're soft or this or that, you know, but it doesn't really faze me too much because I am who I am and I know who I am and I can only be myself, you know, and you know, there, it doesn't really matter. I feel, but it's an issue. It's definitely there.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely is an interesting topic to bring about because it's even relevant to back then and in the past. They definitely experienced the different shades. And Dante, and you can all speak upon this, how do you think that was, I mean, being handling it in the past versus now how these artists handle it today?
Yeah.
From coming from a classical music standpoint, and the majority of the audience during the early part of the, even now, the majority of listeners of classical music in general are all European descent. And being an African-American, having some part of my ancestry coming from some part of Africa, there was a challenge, there was a struggle that artists such as Leontine Price, my professor here at North Carolina Central University, Miss Elvira Green, struggled with. The tenor, great African-American tenor, George Shirley, struggled with. But as I view it for now, you know, racism, is hatred of any kind is going to be present, whether it is discrimination of economic status, the color of your skin, the grade of hair, how straight your teeth are, if you cut your toenails or not, or if you bite them. Hatred of any kind is going to be there. Hatred of any kind is going to be there. It's just how you deal with it. How you deal with it and what you do to ease the pain to others. So, yeah.
That's definitely true. Kendall, can you speak about that as well? Will you repeat the question just so I answer it right? We're just talking about racism, and our caller had a great question talking about different complexion of the African-American nowadays and how Adam personally experiences it through being a rapper in today's industry. And the same thing, if even fear exists amongst these artists that we're playing. We started in the 1700s, 1800s. Now getting to Motown and how that racism existed. And Dante set upon a great concept of saying racism is going to exist no matter what.
Yeah, his question definitely reminded me of the whole, you know, team light skin, team dark skin phase that is so popular in the Black community, especially, like, in my area. A lot of people, you know, maybe post a picture of themselves and have to put, you know, I rep team light skin just to make a point. And
hey,
I'm sorry,
where are you from?
I'm from Maryland, near D.C.
Oh, okay.
And it's really popular here. I don't know if sometimes people want to verify that they're light skin as a way to connect themselves to white culture or a way that they prefer light skin people over black, or I mean darker. But I don't know, I just thought that was interesting.
I think that a lot of kids, you know, go through a phase where they're trying to identify, like, where they fit in or, like, who they are. And, you know, sometimes people It's a very deep thing, and, you know, I don't know if kids really understand how deep it is sometimes. I mean, when I was coming up, like, I'm from Connecticut, so if you knew any black people, like, and you were black and you faced, I don't know, racism or whatever at school, like, your friends were your friends, you know, like, if they were black, like, then they were black. It wasn't, like, I didn't really deal with too much colorism until, like, I actually moved to Atlanta, and then I, you know, went to college. That's when I actually dealt with those kinds of things, like the whole light-skinned, dark-skinned thing, because, you know, I was in a more densely populated area of black people. But so growing up, a lot of my friends were all shades. I never really thought about it until I moved to a more black area. And for me, it was kind of like a wake up call. It was kind of like, wow, black people are, you know, like we all have various opinions, or we're all, it's very diverse. It's not like I didn't think that before, but I started to see, you know, how, you know, different things were, you know, when I moved around the country.
And it's certainly interesting. I want to play a couple more songs before we finish the evening. We can go on for hours. This is a great conversation. But actually, I'll play a song. We just lost Miranda for 1 second. I'm going to play, speaking upon the crossover and someone that's definitely an icon or popular amongst all races, Jimi Hendrix. This song is Along the Watchtower.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say that jump up to the sea. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine. Come and dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody up in this world.
That was Jimi Hendrix. Certainly a different type of spin, but still amongst our Black History timeline. I mean, everyone listens to Jimi Hendrix.
Everyone.
No,
I mean, Jimi Hendrix is timeless. He's irreplaceable and was gone too soon. I wonder what he could have done if he had lived to be an old man.
That's true. That's very true. Kendall, have you listened to Jimi Hendrix, any of his songs?
Yeah, the first time I heard his songs were probably when I was in sixth grade and I was in band. And our guitarist, I remember, was having trouble, like, learning a piece. So they turned to Jimi Hendrix for inspiration because he seemed, you know, to be really cool and a powerful person in the music industry.
And coming from a classical point of view, Dante, how do you take in Jimi Hendrix?
How do I what, Jimi Hendrix?
From a classical point of view and having that background, do you listen to any of his stuff or take in his, basically his background or his type of music and sort of fuse it with what your knowledge of classical music is?
There's been a lot of different people who, different artists who have borrowed from Jimi Hendrix. Prince, no, I believe Prince, no, Prince didn't cite Jimi Hendrix as one of his artists that he drew inspiration from. There's been a lot of, you know, different artists, popular music artists who have drawn from Jimi Hendrix. You know, to be compared to Jimi Hendrix is phenomenal. You know, his technique was great, wrote great songs. He just did a bunch of drugs. Nothing bad.
That's true. We're going to move right along. Our next one, everyone, speaking of drugs, our next one is Bob Marley, Redemption.
Old pirate, yes, a rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Ooh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. Oh, have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them are gonna stop at the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Yes, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you hear to
say? Now, certainly we all know that Bob Marley had his extracurricular activities going on, but a lot of his lyrics and his songs definitely spoke to his community, and they were really powerful.
Yeah, Bob Marley was all about uplifting, I feel, well, black people and people around the world. He was an ambassador of his culture in Jamaica. He is the guy who brought the Rastafarian culture, you know, to the world. Like, people were fascinated with it, and he was able to take music that had never really been heard before and really make it his own. And he was the creator of that. Everyone else who came after him is always compared to him. You know, whenever you see a Rastafarian dude with dreads,
You know, you think Bob Marley immediately. So that's big. It's huge.
Yeah, it's definitely true. He connected with everyone. And speaking of Jamaica and Jamaicans, I don't know if you guys heard the latest controversy on the Volkswagen commercial that they're playing for the Super Bowl. Has anyone heard about that?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Well, I mean, it's just interesting because it's speaking upon the topic about race and racism and what's offensive and what's not, and how things are different now that we're going through changes and as an American.
Well, what happened with the commercial? Or what was
racist so about? Basically it's taking place in a regular office. They are saying that Volkswagen exudes just happiness, relaxation, and you know, when people go to Jamaica, they feel happy and everything is good. So they have a character who is Caucasian who has a Jamaican accent. And then it obviously stands out, and he's talking to his boss, and his boss is like, why is he talking like this? And he's like, where are you from? And I'm not going to put the Jamaican accent on because I will butcher it. And he said that he's from Minnesota or Michigan. You guys will see this on Sunday. And he said that he's from that area, and people are like, obviously, if you're from there, why do you have a Jamaican accent? Then he goes, picks up his coworker as well as that same boss, and another coworker comes to the car and is like, oh, you guys are late, and then all of them are speaking with a Jamaican accent. So they're basically saying when you are in the Volkswagen, you're relaxed, you're happy, you're calm, you're cool, you're collected, just like Jamaicans. So there's two different sides of the spectrum for the debate. One was saying that it was racist, so they're saying having the old guy that is Caucasian speaking with an accent from Jamaica. But then the other side is people from Jamaica, not everyone is black. There's white Jamaicans just from all over the world. So nowadays, even here in America, we're having like minorities are slowly becoming the majority. So that idea that's in the box, like, if you have an accent, you're from here. If you have an accent, you're from there. Basically, black and white, and it's no longer black and white anymore. We're sort of in that gray area. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that mentally, we're still black and white. We are entering, you know, a gray area. I mean, because as you said, minorities are slowly becoming the majority. I think that, I mean, since we now have a black president, I feel like the conversation of race has become a little more open than it was. So I remember growing up when there were only white presidents and everything like that. It wasn't really a conversation that people wanted to bring up. It came up every once in a while when something would happen, like when there was injustice or, I don't know, you know, reports of how black people were not getting many jobs as white people and stuff like that, it would come up then. But, you know, now it's like more open conversation, and we have social media and all these, so people are talking about it more, and we are entering a gray area, but I feel like Americans still think in terms of black and white. I don't think that we've left that era yet at all, because a lot of times when people in conversation, when, you know, they speak of people of color, a lot of times there's like this connotation to it. If like, for example, oh yeah, like this black guy, you know, approached me, like the way they say it, you know, it's still very black and white, how people view things. There's a certain feeling, and there's a history to that feeling when people speak about, you know, race and everything. It's not too universal yet in America. I feel like a lot of times we forget about Asians and Indian people and other races. But I think that
it'll be very different in the next 20 to 30 years. You know.
What are your thoughts, Dante?
Well, growing up, I was born in a little country town called Edenton, North Carolina, where there's about 2 stoplights. But I went to high school and elementary school in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm light-skinned, and I have freckles. And I was the darkest thing in most of my school pictures coming up. And I really don't see race at all. I mean, I look at the heart of a person. You know, if you are a good person, if you have some type of morals, you can have green skin with purple toenails. Now, if you have purple toenails, I suggest you go to the hospital immediately. But you know,
it's true.
Yeah, to me, racism that isn't a big deal for me. Now there are many cases where racism is prevalent, and is the cause of somebody being hurt, but I can't stop that. In one of my English professors, we did a class study about hate. Is it wrong to hate? No, it's not wrong to hate. Hate is an emotion. You're not, by you hating me, you don't do anything to me. You can hate me, put me in your mind, you can put me in hell. But until you put your hands on me or hurt me in some type of way, then we have a problem. Yeah.
That's true. Kendo, what are your thoughts about that commercial?
I don't know. It depends because, I have always been the minority with not as many, black classmates. So sometimes that makes me see race more, and it makes me, notice that I'm different. And more in terms of if there were more, people like me around, I feel like I wouldn't notice myself as a minority as much.
Yeah, I think it's really, interesting because, I mean, my whole life, I felt like an outcast because I grew up in Connecticut. I went to primarily white schools. And then when I moved to Atlanta, I still felt like an outcast. Because I wasn't familiar with the culture. Of course, I adjusted, but, all of a sudden I was being outcasted because, I was light-skinned and, it was just weird. I don't personally see, I don't see race as being a big deal. I mean, it does matter to me, justice and, happiness of all people, but I believe that we are making progress in this country. I believe that things are changing, and I hope that it's not an issue that we need to keep talking about in the future. I hope that it can change. I mean, America's becoming more colored anyway, so I think it'll eventually disappear, to be honest.
And exactly, you brought me to our last 2 songs, Adam, Change. And I know you have a lot to talk about after this song.
Come on.
I see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill him, he's a hero. Get it to the kids who the hell cares. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. Ship them, don't let them deal a brother. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. 2 shots in the jaw, now Huey said. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of 2 distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go. been changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
No changes, all I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate makes us straight to racist. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the waste. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, it's both tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. If they kill, then we real time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, no conceal the fact. The penitence we sat and it's filled with black. Some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made it cheesy today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Selling sex to the kids.
I gotta get paid.
But that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Damn, yeah.
Oh yeah. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some change. Let's change the way we eat. Let's change the way we live. And let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do. But now back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell a cop I can't trust this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's sound number two. You say it ain't cool. But it rains, no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get to lay back. Cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some fuck that I roughed up way back. Coming back after all these years. Right, that. That's the way it is.
Oh, yeah.
So we are coming to the closing of our show, but I think it's a wonderful way to end. Just going around, what would you think that Tupac would say, looking back, of course, the impact that Martin Luther King had on everyone, on the world, all these phenomenal artists who were icons within themselves, and they made their legends, and they were game changers, as Adam said, as well. And now, presently, seeing President Barack Obama and all the changes that he's slowly making, we'll go around. What are your thoughts? We'll start up with Dante.
Well, I think, I don't know Tupac like that. I wasn't part of the
Based upon that song and the lyrics.
Oh, I think he would say that we've come a long way, but there was still room for improvement. You know, there's always room for improvement. You can write the greatest lyrics in the entire world, but there's still somewhere in those lyrics you can improve on. So
yeah,
just keep up the good work, America.
Yeah, I think that Tupac would have felt like there definitely is room for improvement. I think he would have been happy with the fact that, you know, we have a black president now. But I also feel like I don't know if he would be entirely too happy with Obama, because Obama is speaking for mainly the middle class, and Tupac was really about, he wanted to uplift poor people. Not saying that Tupac didn't want to speak to people all over the world, but, you know, he was about the people he grew up with. He was about his environment, uplifting the people who knew what his life was like. So I feel like Tupac would be, you know, pleased that we have a black president, but at the same time, I also feel like he might have been a little
bothered by the fact that, you know, Obama really spends his agenda focusing on, you know, middle class America, and, you know, so.
Kendall?
I definitely think that they would be proud of the progress that this country has made due to their leadership and then others. But I definitely think that there's room to grow, you know, not just in terms of racial issues, but in issues of morality, like, you know, like the school shootings that are occurring now, things like that. I think there's definitely room for society to improve and for people to get better.
That's certainly true. We definitely have gone through a great journey tonight. Lots of songs, lots of history, lots of depth, just terms that stand out, timeless, game changers. Just these are phenomenal individuals who still are relevant today. And it's definitely a great thing to see how far we've come. And I think it's also really important to know your history. Through music, you guys probably see this, that they play different songs nowadays, but using maybe lyrics or different riffs from the past, but the new generation doesn't know it's from the history. So it's just really important to know where it's come from and the meaning behind it. So here on Blake Radio Teen Station, first, before we leave, I want everyone to tell the audience, let them know where they can find you. If you have a Twitter, a Facebook, a blog, email, we'll start off with Dante.
Well, for all of you that are listening, right now I am at North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. But you can find me on Facebook. Just type in my name, DanteHarrell, Dante Harrell, and you should find me. And I wanted to also put out there that I'm giving a recital for those of you who would like to come. I'm giving a recital May the 30th at 7 p.m. in Bean Duke Auditorium on the campus of North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. It is free and open to the public.
Great. We have superstars right here. The Makers. Kendall, do you have a Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
Yeah, I have a Twitter. It's IKENDOITALL. And then an underscore. And then I also use Instagram. And my Instagram is KMITCH152.
Great. And Adam, how can we find you?
You can find me on Facebook. Type in AV, The Aviator. That is my music name, my rap name. And you can also type in avtheaviator.com. And you can also, that's really it. You just find me on Facebook and go on my website. Oh, yeah, and go on my YouTube, youtube.com/avtheaviator. Check out my hip-hop. If you love hip-hop, if you love rap, I think you'll love my music. So, yep.
Well, thank you, teen host. This was a wonderful journey through our melodic timeline and celebrating Black history. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem.
You're welcome.
So, audience, tell us your thoughts. We would like to continue to spread your word and hear what you have to say. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Teen Station, TEEN. SAYTION, and you'll be able to find all our teen hosts and our visiting guests. Thank you, of course, for listening to Teen Station here on Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, where you can always engage in the perspective of all and the opinions of many. This boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, everyone is our untapped truth. So what do you have to say? Have a great night, everyone.
Forgetting people dying.